1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give unto you to give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For unto one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Holy Spirit gifts, are they available today? Brother Pete.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. So this afternoon, what we intend to do is to look at the Bible message about Holy Spirit gifts. And there are some groups of religious individuals who would contest that the Holy Spirit gifts are available today and are available for use by those who believe in God. But what we want to do this afternoon is to look at what the Bible says, firstly about what the Holy Spirit gifts are, what it's been used for previously, and then whether it is in use today, or whether it's available for us to use today. So firstly, could you come with me to the beginning of our Bibles and Genesis chapter 1? Because before we look at what men and women have used the Holy Spirit for once they've been given it, we just want to look at the first instance where we read of God's Holy Spirit being used. And the Holy Spirit, as laid out within the Bible, within the Scriptures, is God's power to do things. So come back, Genesis chapter 1 and the first couple of verses, and we read, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And so here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, we read that the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, that power which God has, was there at the beginning of the creation. And then if we look down Genesis chapter 1, we would see verse 3, "God said, let there be light, and there was light." And then verse 6, "God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters." And verse 7, "God made the firmament and divided the waters." And so God's Holy Spirit, God's power was here with him in Genesis chapter 1. And God then goes on, or chapter details for us, how God created the heavens and the earth around us, which we see. Just come with me to Psalm 33, which just gives us a little bit more information, if you will, as to the process of this creation. So the book of Psalms, in the middle of our Bibles, and chapter 33. And this just emphasises for us what we see in Genesis, but just gives us a bit more information. So verse 6 of Psalm 33, we read, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters as the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. And verse 9, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So here we are left in no doubt that the things which were created in Genesis chapter 1, the things which we can see around us in nature, the heavens, the earth, the animals, etc., they were all created because God said, and it came to pass. It came to pass by the power of God. And when we read in verse 6, that it was by the breath of his mouth. That's the same idea in Genesis chapter 1 as the Spirit of God moving. And so this first instance that we read of God's power or God's Holy Spirit being used is in the creation of everything that we see. And so God used his power to create create the heavens and the earth, everything that we can see around us. But God has given that power, that Holy Spirit power, to certain individuals, men and women, at certain times through history, for a purpose, to do something, given them that ability to complete something which would naturally be outside of their power. So just come with me to Exodus and chapter 31 for our first example. So Exodus chapter 31. And this is at a time when the children of Israel have been delivered out of captivity. They were slaves down in the land of Egypt, but they have been saved from that. And they are now walking or travelling through the wilderness on their journey toward the land of Israel as we know it today. And they have been asked to build a tabernacle, build a place of worship for God. And within that building, within that tent, there were many intricate pieces of furniture, many items of furniture or sewing together of different curtains, which required great skill in order to bring them together. So Exodus chapter 31 and verse 1, we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding, and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to walk in all manner of workmanship." And so we see here that God gave his Holy Spirit to this man in verse 2 called Bezalel. And the reason we're told in verses 4 and 5 is so that he could work in with various different materials, so that he could work in gold, silver, brass, stones, and timber. And the reason he was given that power so that he could create things with those materials. And we then read in at the end of verse 6, verse 6 tells us there was this other individual, this man called Aholiab, who was also given this Holy Spirit. And partway through the verse, I have given this Holy Spirit to them, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom. And here's the crucial bit, the reason that God gave them that power, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. The tabernacle of the congregation, and then goes on to say, the tent, the furniture, and the table, the altars, etc., etc. And so Bezalel was given this Holy Spirit for a particular purpose. And that purpose was to make the furniture and the tabernacle itself. He was given it for a purpose. And if we just come over a couple of chapters to chapter 36. So Exodus chapter 36. And verse 1. And this just re-emphasizes this point for us. Because we read there, "Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab," so the two individuals we read in chapter 31, "and every wise-hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding, to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded." And as a result, they were then able to work. So verse 4, All the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. So they were given that Holy Spirit, and as a result they were able to make those pieces of furniture. They were able to make that tabernacle which God had asked them to make. And so Bezalel and Aholiab were given that Holy Spirit for a particular purpose. So the second example is just in a couple of books forward in Numbers and chapter 27. So the book of Numbers and chapter 27. And this is a few years later, about 40 years later. And the children of Israel have wandered through the wilderness, and they're now about to go into the promised land, into the land of Israel as we know it today. And Moses, the leader of the people, is about to die. And God says in verse 18 of Numbers chapter 27, "The Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honour upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." So here Moses is about to die. And God says that he should select this young man, this man Joshua. And that this man Joshua has been given the Spirit, we read in verse 18. But again, he's been given that Spirit for a particular reason. And the reason is, in verse 20, that the children of Israel, the nation who he was going to be in charge of, would be obedient to him, and he would be able to lead them as they went and conquered the land of Israel, as they went and entered into that land which God had given to them. And if we just come forward, another book, to the book of Deuteronomy this time, in chapter 34. And once again, this is just re-emphasised for us. So, book of Deuteronomy, and chapter 34, and verse 9. And verse 9 we read, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." And so the purpose that he was given the Holy Spirit, so the children of Israel would be obedient, would listen to him and would follow him. The reason that he was given that Spirit, it worked out. Because in verse 9, the children of Israel did hearken to him. And so he was given the Holy Spirit. But again, it was for a particular purpose. And that purpose was to lead the children of Israel after the death of Moses. And so we see there in those two examples, that both individuals, or groups of individuals in the first instance, they were given the Holy Spirit of God so that they could do something which was naturally outside of their ability, but they were given it to complete a certain purpose. They weren't given it to do whatever they wanted to with, but they had that particular power and that ability in order to do something specific. Bezalel was given a specific power by God through the Holy Spirit to make pieces of furniture for the tabernacle, to understand all the intricacies and detail which God required. And Joshua was given the Holy Spirit so that he could lead the people of Israel, not for to do whatever he wanted with it, but so that he could lead the people of Israel according to the way which God wanted him to. And so they were given for a particular reason. And that's the same saying that we get throughout the entire of our Bibles. Whenever an individual is given the Holy Spirit, they are given it for a particular reason. And it's the same in the New Testament. So could you come with me to the book of Acts and chapter 1? So the book of Acts and chapter 1, this is shortly after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has been raised from the dead and is now spending a period of 40 days with his disciples, talking to them. And in verse 8, just going in partway through a conversation between the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 8, We read there, Jesus said to them, that's to the 12, to the disciples which are gathered there, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so again, well, this time the disciples are told that they would receive the Holy Spirit. But again, it was for a specific purpose. And that purpose was that they would be witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So the purpose was that they would be given that Spirit to be witnesses to Jesus. And if we then come over one chapter to Acts chapter 2, we then read of that time when they received that Holy Spirit. Because Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, there we read, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so here, on this day of Pentecost, shortly after Christ had risen and ascended into heaven, the apostles are given this Holy Spirit. So what was the purpose of them having that Holy Spirit? Every other instance, there had been a purpose, hadn't there? Well, here in verse 4, we then read that immediately they were able to speak with other tongues. So they were able to speak in different languages, and people were able to understand them, even though they could not naturally speak the language of the listeners. And if we then looked at verses 6 to 11, we would see that there were a number of different groups of people gathered in Jerusalem at that time. So verses 9 to 11 tells us that there was a large number of individuals from different nations, different languages, different countries. They wouldn't all usually be able to understand what the apostles were going to say. But we read in verse 8, "How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" And so they could all understand what the apostles were saying. And so the purpose at this particular time was so that the apostles would be able to preach the gospel message, preach about the Lord Jesus Christ to a large number of people gathered in Jerusalem. And because they were able to speak in tongues, because people were able to understand them, even though they would not naturally be able to, that message was able to be spread a lot quicker. And if we just come down to verse 37, verse 37, we see that that message had an effect on the people who were listening. So Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. "Now when they heard this," when they heard the message which Peter spoke, "they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so it wasn't going to just be the apostles who had this Holy Spirit. At the beginning of chapter 2, it was the apostles who received the Holy Spirit. But here, Peter says that all those who would be baptized at this time would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at the end of verse 38 there. And so all the believers in this early first century had the Holy Spirit, those who were baptized. So what was the purpose of them having the Holy Spirit? Well, could you come to the reading that we had in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gave us more information about what this Holy Spirit enabled them to do. We won't read all the verses again, as we read them a few moments ago. But verse 8 to 10 tell us what this Holy Spirit enabled people to do. So what this is the extra abilities which they have. So verse 8 There was wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, being able to prophesy, discerning of spirits, tongues, or being able to speak in different languages, and the interpretation of different languages. And so they were given this wide range, if you will, of different gifts. And different gifts will be given to different believers according to the purpose of God. And so they had this ability, but how did it help them? And what was God's purpose? Why did he want to give them this Holy Spirit? We'll just come over a couple of chapters to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Because here we're told what the reason was that they were given this Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verses 4 to 6. Talking about the Holy Spirit gifts, the Apostle Paul says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church or the ecclesia. I would that ye all spoke with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the ecclesia may receive edifying." And then if we come down to verse 12, we read in verse 12, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." And then in verse 19, "Yet in the church or ecclesia I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." And so the Apostle Paul emphasises in this chapter that the reason for them to receive the Holy Spirit gifts, the reason they had this ability, was to help edify or build up and encourage the ecclesia. So it was to help the other believers at that time. Because in this first century, when the gospel of Jesus was preached, there was much opposition to it. The Jews did not want Jewish believers to believe the things about Jesus, because they did not believe he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. And the Romans eventually started persecuting the Christians afterwards in the first century AD. And so the first purpose was to help edify or to build up the ecclesia. But there was a secondary purpose as well in verse 23. So if you come down to verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and there we read, "If therefore the whole church or ecclesia be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth." And so the secondary purpose was that others around them would then come to believe that God was indeed the true God. And that they would come to understand that God was with them, and they would also choose to worship God. And so there was this, if you like, there was these two primary reasons in this chapter that the Apostle Paul gives. One was so that they could encourage and build up the ecclesias, help one another in their belief of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, to convince those around them who did not already believe. It was a preaching tool to help them to convince others and that others might come to an understanding and be baptized. And if we just keep a marker in 1 Corinthians, because we'll come back there shortly, but just pop forward a few books, if you will, to Hebrews and chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, where this point is re-emphasized. So Hebrews chapter 2, and going in at verse 3, the apostle, the writer to the Hebrews at this stage, saying that in the first couple of verses, they should not forget the things which they have been taught. Because verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, Jesus Christ, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. And so the writer is saying that we should not forget the things that they'd been, that the readers had been taught. And that it was these things which had been spoken. The gospel had first been preached by Jesus, and it had then been confirmed or repeated to them by the apostles. And God had bore them witness with signs and wonders and the Holy Spirit. And so God's power, God's Holy Spirit, was bearing witness that the apostles and those who would preach the gospel message of Christ, that God was with them, and that what they were saying was indeed true. And that the Lord Jesus Christ, it was an evidence of God's power, that again it might convince others. And so there was this dual purpose for why they had received the Holy Spirit. But there was another purpose as well. I mean, we won't turn to these passages. It may be a couple of passages which we know well. But in 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, the writer says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And 2 Timothy 3 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. See, at this time, God also used his Holy Spirit to move the apostles, men and women, to write the books that we have in our New Testament. The Gospels and the letters from Paul, from Peter, the letters from Jude and the book of Revelation and letters from John. And so all these letters were written at this stage also. And God used his Holy Spirit that these things might be written down, that it might help the believers. It helps us in our day that we are able to read the New Testament to see a record of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his ministry and the gospel message which was preached. And so the Holy Spirit was used for these three purposes: to build up the ecclesia and help and encourage the early believers, to convince those around them that the things which they were preaching were true, a manifestation of God's power, and that he was with the apostles and those who preached, and so that the scriptures could be completed, so that the books that we've got in our New Testament would be written and compiled for believers in the future to then read. So come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've still got a marker in Corinthians, but just go back the one chapter to chapter 13. Because that was a purpose. We've seen the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the first century AD. But we now want to see whether these things were then carried on and whether they are ultimately available today. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, so one of the Holy Spirit gifts that we saw recorded in chapter 12, the gift of speaking with tongues or different languages. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, another gift of the Holy Spirit, and understand all mysteries, again, another one which we saw in chapter 12. And though I have all faith, again, another gift that we saw listed in chapter 12. So that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And so there's a lesson here for the early believers that although they might have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they still had to show the characteristics of God. They still had to work to serve God and follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having the Holy Spirit wasn't a shortcut, if you like, to following the Lord Jesus Christ and having a place in God's kingdom. They still had to work to develop that. But then he goes on to give a list of characteristics which the believers should demonstrate, should develop in their lives. And it's the characteristics of love. But then come down to verse 8. Because verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, "Charity or love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And so there in verse 8, it lists, once again, three of the spirit gifts that we saw in chapter 12. It talks about prophecies, it talks about tongues, and it talks about knowledge. And the apostle says in that verse 8 that they would all fail, they would all cease to continue. And when it says that prophecies would fail, it doesn't mean that they would fail to come to pass. It's meaning that they would that gift of prophecy would stop being around. And so these gifts of the Holy Spirit, the apostle says here, that they would cease, they would vanish away, they would no longer be there for them to use. And the reason was, in verse 10, they would disappear when that which is perfect is come. And I think that's there referring to the New Testament that we've got now. At this stage, the believers only had the Old Testament and accounts given to them by the apostles, by word or in letters, of the ministry and the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the New Testament was compiled and produced, and so they had a record for them, as we have today, of the word of God. But they are told in verse 8 that these things would vanish away. They would cease to exist. And just bear that in mind for a moment. And before we come to back to that, can you just come with me back to Acts and chapter 2? And we'll just see a couple of examples of how this Holy Spirit was used as a demonstration that it was there for a particular purpose at this in this first century. So Acts chapter 2, which we've already looked at. Verse 4, they were given the Holy Spirit. And then we saw in verse 8 that it enabled the people who were listening to Peter to understand him in their own language. And so from verses 14 down to verse 38, Peter and the other apostles then preach to this multitude which were gathered in Jerusalem. And this ability of the Holy Spirit, as we mentioned before, enabled them to speak to many more people than they would otherwise be able to do, because many others were able to understand, although there was different languages. And then as a result, many were baptized. But then come down to the next chapter, Acts chapter 3. And here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, we read, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple." And so Peter and John are going to the temple and see this lame man. And if we look at verse 6 and 7, partway through verse 6, Peter says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple." And so on this occasion, Peter and John used the Holy Spirit gifts to heal that lame man. But again, they then use the opportunity in verse 12 to 26 to preach the gospel message. The Holy Spirit wasn't there for them to exalt themselves or for their own benefit, but the Holy Spirit that they had been given was to be used to preach the gospel message, to spread the gospel message at this time. And so on both occasions it is used, first the gift of tongues, and in this chapter the gift of healing, to promote the gospel and to preach to men and women. And so that was how it was then used. But as we were told in Corinthians, it would pass away. Well, if we come forward a few chapters to Acts chapter 8. Because on this occasion, we give an indication we get another occasion when it is used, and the Holy Spirit is used for preaching once again. So Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. And there we read in verse 12 that when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So Philip had been preaching the gospel message, and many believed and were baptized. And then down in verse 14, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John are sent from Jerusalem to Samaria, where Philip has been preaching, with the intention that they would lay their hands on the new believers, and they would then receive the Holy Spirit. But then from verse 18 onwards, we see that there's an individual called Simon in this place who asks for this ability to pass on the Holy Spirit. Because whilst there were many believers in the first century who had the Holy Spirit, it was only the apostles who had the ability to pass on, as it were, this Holy Spirit by laying on of hands. And so this individual asks, this Simon asks for this ability, but it is not given to him. But the Holy Spirit was only able to be passed on by the apostles when they laid their hands on believers, unless God gave it to an individual. And so by the natural course of things, after the second generation, when the last apostle died, the Holy Spirit would not be able to be passed on any longer. And so therefore it would disappear a few years later. As it could no longer be passed on, it was only those who would have been alive at the death of the last apostle who would then have that Holy Spirit. And once they had all died after a period of time, the Holy Spirit would no longer be available. But that's not a surprise, is it? Because when we look at the examples we saw in the Old Testament, we saw that they were given that Holy Spirit for a particular purpose, for a particular time period, so that they could complete a certain purpose which God wanted to be completed. Bezalel was given it so that he could build the furniture. Joshua was given the Holy Spirit so that he could lead the people of Israel. There was a specific purpose. And so the purpose at this time in the first century, the reason that the first century believers, a large number of them, were given that Holy Spirit, well, so that the gospel message of God, the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, could be spread in those early years, as it could be used to convince people to believe and to help them to understand the Bible, to help them to understand the scriptures, although they did not have all the New Testament as we have it today, because it was still being written at that time. And so as a result of that gift in this first century, Christianity spread in the first century and spread far and wide in the then known world. And after that, the Bible as we've got it in front of us today was completed and compiled. And so today we don't need the Holy Spirit gifts, because we have the ability to read the purpose and word of God in paper form or electronic form, whatever it is, as we have it in front of us. We have the complete word of God in front of us. And as 2 Timothy 3 said, that was profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We do not have the Holy Spirit gifts today. They are not available today. They were given for specific purposes at specific times. But we do have the Word of God, which is everything that we need for our salvation. And so we have to make sure that we strive to understand the Word of God, understand what God has in store for us if we believe, understand his plan and his purpose from the word which he has left on record for us.